It is critical today that we understand the deep state in order to understand anything that happens, including the UFO phenomenon. In this episode, we review the Illuminati's plans and the dangers of Freemasonry. We review the creature from Jekyll Island, and we also study the EMP attack and how to protect yourself. The Illuminati's plans. Order must be formed out of chaos is Ordo ab Chaos, which is a motto of the Illuminati, that is, senior Freemasonry. Is it true that the hidden hand of the actual elite, or the puppet master, moves the strings of the public politicians to make them act just the right way at the right time? Well, we know there's no gold to back the currency system in the U.S. It's a pure fiat money system which can collapse upon application of the right catalyst. Now, Masonic powers and other occult factions within the governments of Britain, America, and Europe hold a great many secrets. You're about to uncover the most guarded secrets. In 1969, at Prince Charles's royal investiture, the Red Dragon, again directly from the Book of Revelation, was presented on green and white banners. Queen Elizabeth II spoke directly from the Book of Revelation to Charles. "This dragon now gives you power, your throne, and your authority," she said. Charles then responded, "I am now your liege man and worthy of your earthly worship." A liege man means a lord or master. That's all right from the Bible, in Revelation 13, actually. Now, years and years later, the queen spoke these words, "There are dark forces in this country of which we know not of." This was Queen Elizabeth II to Paul Burrell, a former servant of the British royal household, in October of 1997. Paul Burrell was the Queen's butler for 10 years and Princess Diana's butler for 10 years. He recently participated in a documentary called The Diana Conspiracy. What happened in Paris? It is worth watching. Now, back to the present. Some individual in the future will have the intent to establish a one-world government, a monetary system, and a one-world religion. That is what the New World Order is all about. A door to Pandora's box is how our enemies, Russia, China, or even North Korea, might have the power to eliminate 80 to 90% of American civilians within a year or two, leaving only a small percentage to forage among the ruins. How can this happen? Well, this belief is backed by no less than a congressional commission, a 2004 report by the Presidential EMP Commission was convened to examine the risks of an electromagnetic pulse weapon, EMP, exploding over the continental U.S. An EMP blast knocks out the power grid with devastation following, a lack of food, water supplies, and power for warmth. Now, if Vladimir Putin didn't have a cool head, he might have implemented this ultimate solution to destroy the New World Order. Putin, in fact, believes he has nuclear superiority, both defensively and offensively. He can also protect 50% of his population with shelters in Moscow and built into the mountains. One of the problems, our sub-captains could be gridlocked. Without orders from Washington, they cannot do anything. And an unexpected EMP attack would likely neutralize lines of communication so that nuclear launch codes could not reach the submarine fleet. A singular EMP attack, in fact, over the heartland of the United States is relatively simple from a logistical standpoint. You don't need a super accurate guidance system. You don't need the logistic problems of an ICBM. It's far easier to create and launch an EMP attack than any other type of attack, and the consequences are devastating. If something exploded 30 kilometers above ground, so there's no debris to disclose who launched it, it would be anonymous. Radars, satellites, and their downlinks are all destroyed. Forensic analysis cannot identify the perpetrator. There are no fingerprints. An EMP attack is the ultimate cyber weapon. Now, while we challenge Russia with words, Vladimir Putin knows he can destroy all electronics with a EMP. Russia, China, and North Korea all have EMP weaponry. North Korea has a satellite with EMP weaponry. We are a society built on electronics. We will not survive without the power grid. We must prepare ourselves, our power grid, and also prepare individually and as a nation. I have written a separate book on this precise topic titled Iran, the Event. Iran may be the trigger point to an EMP attack. This book tells you how to protect yourself. It's on Amazon, written by Muir Taylor. Now, you have to understand how the intelligence community operates. When Eisenhower warned of a vast military-industrial complex, he wasn't kidding. Of course, he provided no detail, but he was fully aware of it. Case in point, he authorized Area 51, but then received absolutely no information from it. He finally had to send two representatives out there and threaten the base with an army invasion if they didn't disclose what they were doing. This has now come out as common knowledge. What happened is that they immediately compartmentalized the operation on a need-to-know basis, restricting total knowledge to only a few people. Nothing was produced in writing, of course. This is how the intel community, which is a generous name, operates. They have a $6.5 trillion black ops budget. That's the latest number for missing money from the Pentagon. How do they use it? Well, first and foremost, deep underground bunkers for the elite. Secondly, they use it for special operations. Often the CIA and the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, operate in tandem. The CIA sets up the operation, and the DIA covert or block ops people run it. Now, these are not people you'll see on TV or in uniforms. They wear suits, they blend in. When operating, they don't even use their real names. They operate, many of them, out of sub-level offices and otherwise innocuous-appearing office buildings around Virginia and Washington. They have no accountability. They have access to special units of contractors for whatever they may need. The goals of the New World Order started in 1776. One day in May of 1776, Johann Adam Weishaupt founded the Illuminati in the Electorate of Bavaria. He adopted the name of Brother Spartacus within the order. The New World Order has moved behind the scenes ever since. It had its hand in everything from the French Revolution to the establishment of the secret and private so-called Federal Reserve. In August of 1910, Senator Nelson Aldrich sent his private railroad car to the New Jersey railway station to rendezvous with six other men who were instructed to come under conditions of great secrecy. They were told not to be seen together. Two of the men, in fact, adopted code names. Absolute secrecy was essential. The train traveled for 2 days and nights and ended at Brunswick, Georgia. Then they proceeded to Jekyll Island. For years, they denied this meeting took place until after the Federal Reserve was established. Of course, we know the Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express. It is a private consortium of international banks. Aldrich was the grandfather of Nelson Rockefeller. The Federal Reserve is an unaudited, unaccountable organization of private international banking interests. This organization, often referred to as the creature from Jekyll Island, was established at this meeting. The widely accepted view of history that we are taught as children is that the Federal Reserve was created to stabilize our economy. Even the most naive, however, must wonder. Since its inception, we have witnessed the crashes of 1921, 1929, the Great Depression of 1929 to 1939, recessions in 1953, 1957, 1969, 1975, and 1981, Black Monday in 1987, and 1,000% inflation, which has destroyed 90% of the dollar's purchasing power. The Federal Reserve, from its history, is obviously unable and incapable of achieving stated objectives. It is a cartel, but it has a government facade. And every time there's a conflict between public need and the cartel's goals, the public is sacrificed on its altar. That's the way cartels work. The plan for the so-called Federal Reserve was drafted at a secret meeting in November of 1910 at a private resort owned by J.P. Morgan off the coast of Georgia on Jekyll Island. They obtained a franchise, in effect, to create money out of nothing and charge interest on it. Currency drains, inflation, and bank runs would be paid for by the public. In a nutshell, that was the deal. The purpose of the Jekyll Island meeting was to maximize profits to insiders. It was attended by an elite group. That's the secret of this strange journey. The structure was pure cartel. It's a classic example, a group of independent bankers who decide to coordinate how to eliminate competition and share insider profits. Their tool is a shared monopoly. So the Federal Reserve was created. It's not federal, and there are no reserves. Six men representing one-fourth of the wealth of the world at that time secretly entered a private railroad car in New Jersey and began their journey to Jekyll Island. They had been instructed to arrive separately to avoid reporters and make believe they didn't know each other. On the train, they used first names only. Their porters and servants didn't know everyone's names. The 800-mile journey took them to Atlanta, Savannah, and then Brunswick, Georgia, a small fishing village. From the dock there, they shortly arrived at the remote island lodge of Jekyll Island. The evidence says this was a planned conspiracy. These events were not blind forces of nature or history. The accidental theory of history is just that. It's a blank page. A key to understanding our fiat money system is to understand the metal known as gold. First, some history. The main reason that metals were used in the past as commodity money is that they meet all of the requirements. They can be conveniently traded. They're not perishable. They can be divided into smaller units. They can be precisely measured. The monetary unit of a country should be measurable and constant. Since metals are subject to assay in weight and purity, they are perfectly suited for this purpose. An ingot of metal is either 99% pure or it's not. The Federal Reserve claims it can stabilize prices. Of course, any sane person knows if this is its main purpose, it's a complete and total failure. But the beauty of a gold standard is that prices do become automatically stable. The free market does its job. Let's compare gold to Federal Reserve notes. These notes are highly ornamental. They have seals and signatures of various varieties. The government pays its expenses with them. The population is, of course, forced to accept them. They can be produced in limitless quantities, yet they cost absolutely nothing to make. They're backed by nothing. Warlords of seven centuries ago used similar fiat money to fund their empires. The American Continental Army used certificates to fund its supplies and payroll. In 1775, the money supply was $12 million. The following 5 years saw an increase of $425 million, over 3,500%. The states followed their lead, and by 1779, the money supply had expanded by 5,000%. So what happened? Inflation self-destructed the process almost immediately. In 1775, the paper continentals were traded for $1 in gold. In 1777, they traded for a quarter. By 1779, they were worth less than a penny. You've heard the phrase, not worth a continental. Shoes were selling for $5,000 a pair, and a suit of clothes cost $1 million. George Washington wrote, "A wagon load of money will scarcely purchase a wagon load of provisions." Does this sound familiar? In the last 100 years, the dollar has lost more than 90% of its value. It happened through inflation, of course, the hidden tax. Fiat money is paper money without precious metal backing. Politicians can increase spending without raising taxes sometimes. It's the cause of inflation. So, the cartel known as the Federal Reserve System was born. They didn't call it a central bank, which it was. It had to sound like a government operation. The word reserve was made to sound it fiscally responsible. The word system helped avoid any reference to a central bank. The 12 regional branches were used as a cover to make it appear decentralized, but in effect it operates as a central bank, modeled after the Bank of England. One of the most complete works about these secret organizations that are behind the scenes is Tragedy and Hope by Dr. Carol Quigley. He was a professor at Georgetown University. Bill Clinton was one of his students. Dr. Quigley was not the average academic. He had been associated with the dynasties of the super rich in Europe and America. He was the consummate insider. His 1,300-page book about history was not for the masses, it was for the elite and the intellectuals. In his book, he exposes the greatest secret of our time. Strangely, he supported their goals, but absolutely exposed them as well. Dr. Quigley reported that in 1971, he was informed that the publisher of his book, only 2,000 copies went out, had destroyed the plates. The rare book price went to the hundreds of dollars range. He believes tragedy and hope was suppressed. Why would Men in Power want to suppress this book? Probably for one reason. Dr. Quigley has described the goals of these financiers as, quote, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world, acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent private meetings and conferences, end of quote. In other words, each central bank, whether it was the Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Federal Reserve, and so forth, would, through the hands of men, dominate their respective governments by their ability to control treasury loans, foreign exchanges, and other measures. This is, of course, the secret they don't want you to know. Quigley calls this group a network. Now, the network is directed by a secret society. Members are in key positions. The secret society is called the Round Table Groups. They come in many names: the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, similar groups in London. At the center, you have complete control. They are built from the center out, with the people at the outmost rings having very little real knowledge at all. To paraphrase Henry Ford, those who oppose their goals and threaten to expose the inner workings of this group are faced with unexpected scandals, investigations, and even possible impeachment. Does this sound familiar? They generally place bets on all horses, but when one arrives into power totally from the left field and beholden to no one, then suddenly their media and their power plays emerge from every direction. Experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have, in time and by slow operations, perverted it into tyranny. Thomas Jefferson. Until next time, this is Gerald Eastwood. Look up the book, Surviving the Deep State by Muir Taylor, My Persona, on Amazon. It's a great read and will show you how to survive and prosper. And read my book, Iran the Event, by Muir Taylor, to protect yourself and your family.